This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hey, Blues fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast, brought to you by our friends at theinnovatedcompanies.com. Let's welcome in our co-hosts, former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball. What's going on, fellas?
Good morning, Jim. Ooh.
I think we've got a lot to chew on today, don't we?
Well, let's see. You got all kind of, like, there's people tweeting at you to feel the berg, and we got...
Oh, that's right.
You know, we got...
The guy scores one goal.
Yeah.
but it was a big one.
Yeah, it was a big one.
I mean, I'm getting pictures.
It was a horrific goal, but it was a big goal.
Your boy Jeremy Roenick, you know, defending the Blues a little bit on national
TV. And rightfully so.
And rightfully so.
He will. He'll call it like it is.
Once again, the NHL Garage League. Unbelievable.
Did you see my last tweet, though?
I don't know that I did.
I wish...
There were so many. I don't know which one you're talking about.
I wish Trump was in charge of the the video replay, because he would fire the idiot that's making those stupid calls. Because there's someone missing some calls a lot this year. And he's keeping
his job. You know what's hard about that is, to be honest, that puck gets so close to the edge of the goal line. And unless you had a laser that you could drop straight down where the line is, that you, like, you're now you're depending on the guys who paint the lines. Yeah. To have, but, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
You're depending on them to have a perfectly straight edge on that and for it to be identifiable. So, in my opinion, the NHL's missed the boat a little bit here. I know you guys are going to be like, oh, no shit, right? But if they made that goal line that's inside the net, inside the posts, right? If they made that, if they mandated that that be really dark and repainted once a week or once a month, right? Mm-hmm. So that you could identify that when that puck literally crosses, if there's one speck of white, you'll know. But right now, because it gets faded, because it gets used, because it gets blurred, you can't tell where that hard edge is of that goal line.
Here's my problem.
It is very difficult.
Here's the problem. They called it a goal, right?
And that's
the thing. It'd be different if they didn't call it a goal.
But here's where I want to go with that.
I know. So they got to be inconclusive.
Yeah.
The guy
calls a goal.
Yeah.
In old days when video was not even around, he called the goal, and he would have been on the money. And there would have been no one, you know, they might have been bickering, but move on. Because it was a goal. I believe it was a goal.
Yeah. I think it was. Here's what I think. I can't determine, because I'm not a CSI here. I can't determine, or FBI agent.
I just got my eyes
Are you
done,
sure
though,
you're so. Not? Because you're about everything else.
But I can't determine if that completely crossed the goal line. However, based on the fact that he called it a goal, it has to remain a goal that way. That's my
I bought
opinion.
Those $10 glasses at Walgreens there, and I can see perfect now. So it was a goal.
You're spending a lot of time at Walgreens these days.
Kimby had to have them custom made, though.
He has
two prescription windshields.
I knew this was coming.
Yeah, I just set myself up for that shit, don't I?
I looked over, he had two Volkswagen windshields on his face.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
Isn't that a son of a bitch when you underhand pitch it to me?
Yeah, I just laid it there for him, too, and that's all.
Yeah. No, but
You know, this just feeds into this. Just feeds the frenzy here. How the NHL just.
But you know what's really bad in St. Louis, Chrome? Because it's the Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh yeah.
And but more importantly to this thing, the Blues are fighting for a goddamn playoff spot, and you're gonna we're talking about a sliver of trying to find a sliver of white here on the red line, and you know that's where it's
unless it's clear cut where you can overturn it, you have to call that a goal.
That's
you got
to
go.
To be.
I totally agree. And you know what the shitty thing is that yes, we're the St. Louis Blues. We're playing against the Chicago Blackhawks on NBC.
Yeah.
So you tell me. Now, I'm not saying that there's a big conspiracy theory here, okay?
Oh, boy.
Because I don't know. However.
Feed that animal.
However, do you think NBC would rather have the Chicago Blackhawks pull in big ratings for being successful or the St. Louis Blues?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
if I'm there printing money over at NBC, I'm wanting the Chicago Blackhawks to win those games so that I can continue to televise them and I can continue to get their advertising dollars that they draw in.
I agree.
I don't know. Blue,
I know. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, here we go. See, you are a CSI.
But I was happy that JR, though, called it what he thought.
But that's his personality.
Yeah, that is JR. You're exactly right.
Like, whether he's a Chicago Blackhawk or not, or this or that, like, he's still going to call it the way he sees it. Yeah. And if you don't like it, well, too bad. Take a number.
And that's your boy. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, it was St. Patrick's Day this weekend, so a lot of videos.
That's right.
A lot of videos flying around of the St. Patrick's Day massacre of you knocking out a couple of front teeth of our friend JR there and then him winding up. Was he your best man in your wedding or was
he wasn't
wedding?
Eddie Valpar was my wedding.
Yeah.
I think I was listening to the Chaser on Twitter and I'm going, what the hell? Was I even at the damn fight? Because I thought he's taking all the credit for the damn thing. I go, quit that shit now, kid.
Said, oh, no, no. You got plenty of credit.
I'm the guy that knocked his damn tooth out.
Got plenty of credit on the videos over the weekend.
Yeah. You know, the sad part about it is I like JR. JR was one of my, we were close friends when I was on the Blackhawks. The first guy that I met when I went to Chicago was JR. He met me, I come from the airport, the baggage guy or the trainer guy brought me in, and there was JR standing there. And come over and he gave me a hug, and I was the one that knocked his damn tooth out. But that's how hockey goes, you know. And for the 2.5 years that I was in Chicago, you know, I did a lot of shit with JR, so we were pretty good buddies.
As screwy as it is, you end up having better relationships like that with guys that you went, you know, battled tooth and nail with.
Yeah.
Like, I remember going from
literally.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember going from team to team, and there was quite a few of them. Mm-hmm. And every time I walked into the locker room, the guy that, I don't want to say I bonded with, but the guy that you had, like, this little bit extra kind of, was a guy that I had some kind of a run-in with. Somebody I'd battled for many games or many years, and you walk in and it's like, it's almost like you got this mutual respect for each other that, this is a pretty good guy. You know, I'm glad you're on my side now.
I was going to say, I think Tony had alluded to that. The guys he hated the most, he would have welcomed them on his team any day, but he hated them.
But Jeremy Roenick, how hated he was here in St. Louis, I tell you what, I would take that kid on my team. And now, I know he never won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
But that guy would give his goddamn left nut to your hockey team. He did it all.
He played hard.
He did it all.
He played it hard.
He had to be the leading scorer. He was the leading hitter more times for the Blackhawks when they're in there.
I liked him as a player.
Oh. He was a good shit disturber out there. I had a few run-ins with JR.
Yeah.
And he's a shit disturber. We went at it a couple of times, but like I said, it's that mutual respect, you know. And,
yeah.
But now, wait, before we go any further here.
Okay.
Speaking of putting in good efforts, and speaking of number 27s.
Yeah, there he is.
Okay. Last week, when we had Twister on the show, we weren't happy about the Jamie Benn incident.
Yes.
Looking back at that now, I'm even more pissed off about that incident now. The reason I'm more pissed off is because not only did that guy have to go through that, Petro had to go through that, and nobody freaking stepped up, but now this guy is leading them.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
You look back here at recently when the times could be easy to say, you know, I'm just going to get my paychecks and get through this and not get seriously injured. The guy's leading the team.
Yep.
And whether people think there's a riff in the locker room or not, or whether it's fictitious or not, it doesn't matter. What he's showing is nothing matters right now except winning hockey games.
Yeah.
So it's almost like baptism by fire, right? Like, he's becoming a better captain, a better leader through this adversity. And that's really what you want from your leadership.
And you're like exactly cue on here. And the other thing is, the guys in the media that I would have Steen and Berg. And now Steen, then they both scored. Don't get me wrong, but they would be coming to my front list. But Petro and Allen have been taking the brunt of this, and Allen has been playing. I don't care if he laid in a couple soft goals or what you think. The guy's winning. He's making huge saves when he has to, and that's all you want from your goaltender. And they've been getting beat up in the press, and that Jake Allen, not maybe not the press, but the media.
Oh, he's been taking a beating.
And I'll tell you what, when the kid, he went through his spell. I understand that. But when he's on, God, he's a good goaltender. I like him.
Oh, he had a great quote yesterday. I think Luke Korak had it in his little Twitter feed, and Jake Allen said, look, guys, at the end of the day, like he's talking to whoever the media were around him. He said, at the end of the day, it's not about Jake Allen. It's about the St. Louis Blues winning hockey games. So he's like, whether if they score on a breakaway or a one-timer or whatever, or if they score from the other end, it doesn't matter. A goal is a goal.
Yep.
Same thing applies to our team, right? So he's like, the focus isn't – it's not Jake Allen. It's the St. Louis Blues.
Yep.
And so he's like, I don't even give a shit if we win 8-7. Kind of like the Grant Fuhr days, right? As long as you make that one save, that gets you the win. So I, you know,
when I watched the game, I was listening actually on the radio, but through the game last night, I went back and watched the highlights. The first highlight, what was the first highlight of the night that you see? It was almost like they go up to the press box, and who's up in the press box sitting there?
I didn't see that part.
That's your number one. Your number one player sitting up in the press box.
Oh yeah, 91.
Yeah,
you're right.
And so 91 sat up there, and I was saying to myself, as soon as he gets, when we found out that he wasn't going to be able to play, I said, this could be a point where this team can get, you know, because usually when your star goes out, everyone sort of buckles up a little bit harder, and boom, they other people presume go into that role and whatever going on. And when they won the game without him, I like that. Because I'm not trying to be an ass to him, but
no, I get it.
He gets a lot of credit, and I think there he could give more. There are games he's played good, but God, maybe he can look from above, and they saw the team effort that was put out there. Maybe he can say, well, geez, I can buy into that shit. Hopefully, that's what he says.
Yeah, no, I think everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people automatically assume that when your star player is out, like deflated, and you could see that through social media.
For sure.
People are like, oh, no. Oh, great. The Blues curse. You know, all this kind of stuff. And that, like you said, that's a moment for a team to step up. Mm-hmm. And that's why I brought up Petro.
Yep.
Because you look at this guy, and all he's done is get 6 points in the last two games. And you know what? Scoring the goals and points, it's great. But we all know that doesn't necessarily determine your effort level. But watching him play, he's been really determined. You know, he's really defending hard. He's moving the puck. He's jumping in the play like he did at the start of the season. And that, you know, that's a combination of the forwards playing more responsible with the puck, forwards pushing their D backwards, all these things. But I just felt like we had to address that today, that not that we were really hard on Petro. We're kind of hard on the team, and people have questioned Petro throughout the season. I think he is evolving into that quiet lead-by-example captain that some of the great players have been in the NHL and some that are still currently. So you got to give props to him.
And ask me, I don't know if you got a chance to watch all this, but I watched the goals that were scored. The thing that was different last night, that the shots from the point, Dunn's goal, and there was traffic in front of the net. There was people on.
Well, yeah.
And then when you're in power play, old-school power play, when I played in Boston for – when the Bruins, Holly was different because we'd focus off of Holly over here in St. Louis, but Ray Bourque was our
Bubba.
And when things didn't go well, the power play was struggling, the puck went to Bubba, and Bubba shot the puck. And that's what he did. He shot the puck. And I'm telling you what, this guy, he led the league in shots all the time because it would come and it'd go. And you'd sit on the bench and get pissed off because you say, well, there's a play over there. But Bubba, he didn't give a shit. It was coming and it was going.
Going to the net.
And that's all he did. And last night, I thought the Blues threw the puck at the net, and there was traffic getting in front of there, and you know, I think it made a world of difference.
You know what I really like is I like the fact that, and this might be coincidence, okay? And I don't want to lead the audience here, but when you watch the Blues power play with Vladdy out there when Dunn is on the ice, Vince Dunn tends to always, no matter what, default to passing the puck to Vladdy.
Yep.
And I get it because we used to do the same thing with Hully. Well, where is he? Let's get him the puck, right? Almost at all cost.
Yeah.
However, I think we saw yesterday that when Dunn just has the option of shooting it, Look at what he did.
Exactly.
Like, holy crap. And that kid can shoot it. And then the best thing I like is there's no hesitation at all. Like, Petro makes that one pass to him, which is a fantastic fake shot over. Bam! It's in the net.
Yep.
You know, it's like this kid's firing the puck. And that's what you want out of your young, offensive-minded defenseman. Like you said, Ray Bourque, one of the best ever, arguably top five defensemen ever in the National Hockey League. He ripped it almost every time it came to him.
All the time.
Isn't it, I noticed, like last night's the first time I really noticed it. Dunn's like so smooth, like just cool as a cucumber. Did you notice that? Like a few of the play, like no emote, nothing. Like he's like just all business. Like let's do this thing. I'm impressed by that kid. I mean, you've been talking about him for over a year.
I mean, just like that his demeanor is almost like, you know, what's the old saying? Act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
You know, his demeanor to me doesn't scream rookie.
He has a big goal, and he just basically looks at Petro and says, really, really nice. You know, it's like holy shit here.
He's got the mentality, though. Like, he tries stuff, and if it doesn't work, he forgets it.
Yeah, he doesn't freak out.
But no, wait, that's a compliment, to the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Because you know as well as I do, and I can tell you from experience, that I tried some stupid shit in my day as a young...
Or off the ice?
Well, on the ice, both. But on the ice, and it get picked off or knocked down or something bad would happen or this or that, and I'd get benched.
Yeah.
It'd be like a period and a half then sitting there. So guess what I did the next time I got the puck? I didn't do that. I didn't get creative. I banged it off the boards and did nothing
with it.
And exactly. So the coaching staff, the Blues defense coach Daryl Sador, Mike Yeo, everyone that's involved right now, they're obviously encouraging him to be creative, to be confident, to, you know, move the puck, to be this guy. So that, to me, it's credit to the player, certainly, because he has to execute the plays.
Yeah.
However, he can't execute them if he gets shit every time or benched when he makes a mistake.
Correct.
So all around, the way they've handled this, and I've said it before, the way they've handled Vince Dunn has been great.
Well, let's take a look now. Let's turn to our innovative heating and cooling segment of the show, and it's the hot and cold. And what we're forgetting here is, lost in all this greatness was an opportunity for 2 points against a team you're chasing, and that's Colorado. And as we sit here today, I look at the standings. They put themselves a point out now. Games are getting pretty even where we had two in hand, and now we're getting kind of even here. The Dallas Stars sit 1 point in front of us, but they have a game in hand on Dallas. I've taken a look at some of the schedules here. Now, obviously, if they'd have beat Colorado, we're sitting in the playoffs right now.
You know, yeah.
So
there's still 10 games
left. Or even a point.
10 games left, though, right?
So what I've done here is I've taken a look at the three teams and basically put their schedule down.
With three teams.
St. Louis Blues,
yep.
Los Angeles Kings, yep. Colorado Avalanche.
Well, don't forget about the Ducks in there. Yeah,
why are you doing Colorado? Because Colorado's ahead of
Dallas.
Ducks and Dallas.
Well, but
and we got a game in hand on Dallas.
Well, I'm looking at these schedules by who they play, so I want to get your thoughts on these.
All right.
Okay.
I'm just asking you why you didn't include those other ones.
Well, I will. I can only go so fast.
I will.
I can only go so fast.
Suspense, Kimby.
I can only go so fast.
He doesn't want to overload you.
I tell you,
this cranium, he can take it.
Look at this size of that cranium.
I think Colorado's got the toughest schedule here of these three.
Yeah, but I think they're one of the teams that are playing the best right now.
Yeah, I would say that
McKinnon's on fire, man.
Oh my God, is he good right now?
Yeah. And that goaltender's playing well. I would count them to probably make the playoffs.
Yeah, I would have to say that Colorado, if I was betting in Las Vegas, I would put money on them to make the playoffs. I know they have a tough schedule ahead of them.
Yeah.
But they've had that all year, and it seems like they've been just fine with tough schedules.
They're playing well.
Well, and the thing about it is, no matter which schedule you go and look at, there are games remaining against these teams in front of you. So you have the opportunity to, as you guys always mention, and we don't think about it sometimes because it's not right there in our division, but 4-point swings. I mean, it's big, and obviously that, you know, you look at the game the other night. So I ask you guys then, 4 out of 6 points this weekend, was it good enough?
Yeah. No, yeah.
What do you mean four out of six?
I like the last two they got.
How did you get four out of 6 points?
We had 3 games. We got 4 points.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. Now I get it.
I know where you're going with all this, and I sort of look at the competition they're playing. So they played Colorado, and Colorado gets the win.
Right.
They play the Rangers, who aren't making the playoffs. They beat them, so that's good. They play the Blackhawks, who play all right, but and the Blues fought to come back, so I'm going to give them that. I like to see the teams are playing. I'll know what the Blues are at when the Bruins come into town here, when they play them. That's where that's a team that's at the top. So then we're going to see where the – and I'm not trying to be a double negative or whatever the hell you want to call it. I don't want to do
Nelly,
that.
Negative Nelly.
I'm not going
Debbie
there.
Debbie Downer. Downer.
Debbie Downer. But I just – I want to see where the Blues – they're huge points. These last four are huge. But – and they're right there – now they're going to play. Let's see where they're at when they play the Bruins, because the Bruins are like, they're at the top of the charts here right now.
Yeah, no, that's a hell of a hockey team for sure. The East, I mean, you look at the East and you look at Tampa Bay and you look at Boston, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So,
Would you go Tampa Bay, Boston? You think the Leaf is going to get in there a little bit? You don't know what they're coming. They're coming crazy.
I don't think they're deep enough. It's my opinion.
They go night and day, though. They are. They're like Jekyll and Hyde.
I just think that Tampa is too loaded.
Yeah, I do too.
Even for Boston. I like Boston, so I'd put Boston same category as Toronto. Great team.
Donato kid coming in now, too. He could
we'll see. He's supposed to
maybe play
tonight, so we'll see. But getting back to the Blues schedule, yeah, I think that everybody in there and their brother is going to try to dissect this schedule.
Yeah.
You know, in every game, it's going to be percentages that flip-flop, and everybody's going to have some sort of algorithm to figure out how many games you have to win out of. Like I heard yesterday, the Blues had to win 8 out of 11 games. Well, how do you know that? I mean, really, it's a guess. I mean, everybody figures, well, no, 96 points gets you in the playoffs. Well, how do we know?
What if it doesn't?
Well, what if it doesn't? Or what if everybody else shits the bed? Like, what are you talking about here? Like, right, it is what it is. And so my mentality that I've always had with these things, and certainly as a coach now, is don't worry about how many you have to win. Win them all.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, you have to play every game like it could be the one that determines whether you make it or not. And if you win out and you still miss the playoffs, well, it is what it is.
If the players start playing that ball game too, you're going to start looking ahead of the ball game. You're going to screw yourself because I said, you got to play it one day at a time because you got the Boston Bruins coming in here in the next game. That's all you're really caring about right now because they're at the top of the charts. So let's play them. And then you're going to – who's the second game they play after that?
Vancouver.
Yeah, so the Vancouver who's not going to make play, and then you go into Columbus. And Columbus is going to be a tough bloody match because they're fighting for a playoff spot also. So, you know, you're going to – but you got to stay one game at a time, I think. And the Bruins is all they got to be focused on. And I'm pretty sure that's what Yo and Berube and these guys are pulling. Here's what our job is. One, and they're probably even down to one period at a time, realistically, is where they're going.
Well, you have to do that.
Yeah.
In order to keep the sanity amongst the group, because 10 games is a big stretch. If you try to just be like, okay, we have to win 10 games.
You could have 10 guys hurt by that time.
It's mentally exhausting, though, too. So you focus on, you try to break it down to its smallest thing, and the smallest thing is, let's win every shift. Okay, well, all right, but periods. Win three periods, you win a game. Next game, you start over. So I think that's the way to look at it when you're in this position.
I agree.
Saw some tweets coming in. Would you guys have challenged the goal at the end of the period? Did you think that was goaltender interference? Do you think he kicked it?
Oh, boy.
Kicked his leg in there?
That's a tough one. And the reason I do
you're on NBC, you're not getting that call.
I mean, you didn't get a goal. Like
that call. I've sat and watched other games, not just the Blues. I've watched that and goalie interference, and it's gone to the bigwigs in Toronto. And you don't know what they're gonzos.
You know what? Here's my thing though on this is with the offside rule now, you get a penalty if you're wrong.
Yeah.
With the goaltender interference, there's nothing. There's no recourse for it. So I'm the kind of guy that even if they didn't touch the damn goalie, I'd be like, I want to challenge that. Yeah. Why not? Because based upon what the pattern has been here, you really don't know what they're going to call.
50-50 right now.
You're like, well, you know what? I got a chance here.
Yeah.
So why not? Like they might see something where a guy breathed on the goalie the wrong way and they call goalie interference. Correct. So in my opinion, and I'm not questioning the coaching staff and all the what they did and what they determined.
They
got to
make
be
a quick decision there. Well, yeah,
but mine automatically with my coaching staff would be determined at the start of the season or certainly halfway point when all this craziness started happening. It's like every time there's a goal that's anywhere near the blue paint, we're challenging it.
Yeah.
That would be my – now, I guess you lose your timeout, right?
Is that what it is? Yeah.
That's what it is. You lose your timeout. So that's a tough call because you're in a close hockey game. So
is the timeout that valuable?
Oh, yeah, it is.
It is.
Absolutely, because as you get down to the end of the game, you're not rolling four lines anymore. Sometimes you're not even rolling three lines. You're rolling two lines, and you're going boom, boom, boom. And then what if there's an extended shift for whatever reason and your timing's off, and now your top line – You need them the most, and they just were out there for a minute shift, and there's a minute 30 left in the game. Well, you're not going to get them out there again if you put your next line out there.
Yeah.
So at that point, you call the timeout to rest up your horses. Offensively, whoever your horses are, you want them rested. Defensively, if you're guarding the lead, you want your defensive horses rested.
I agree. Okay. I see fans sometimes say, it's just a timeout. What are you waiting for? But that's a great answer because I think people don't understand that it is important.
It's important when you get down to the last 3 minutes of a hockey game. If you're ahead or behind, you want to make sure, especially if you're not like a deep, deep, deep team. You know, like you got to make sure that you have your aces ready to go.
You know it's a big play because remember the timeout was going on, and Blues fans know this because when Hitchcock was here, he would use that damn thing at the end of a first period sometimes or second because you don't like to give goals up at the end of the period, and that could be a momentum swing for you. And that's what Hitchcock would use his for. Where Jamie's going is 99% of the time, that's what's going to happen because they're trying to rest their superstars to be in that position. But I'm just saying they use those timeouts for various things, and they're very valuable.
Now, good. I don't know if you guys, I know you remember Roger Nielsen.
Yep.
And I'm sure maybe you remember Roger, mm-hmm. Okay? Roger Nielsen, which a lot of people don't even realize, the rule book has about five or six rules that were put in there because of Roger Nielsen. Yeah. Because this guy would wake up from sleep in the middle of the night and think of a way to manipulate the rule book, okay? So what he would do is, in the last 5 minutes of a game, offensively, like or they're ahead or behind, he'd play one of his third liners on the second or first line with 3 minutes left. And he'd wait till he had an opportunity. And every freaking time, one of those guys would go down hurt. And the trainer would take his time to go out. And then, you know, the refs usually, you don't make the refs look bad because you know already that guy's not playing the rest of the game. So you tell him before the game, hey, by the way, you're going to go, or as you're leading up to it, you're going out there, you're going to get hurt. And you're going to lay there and you're going to be unable to get up. You're going to give us about a good 2 minutes here. And I shit you not, he had the trainers on a clock. And he'd try to get a 2.5 to 3 minute break out of this guy going down.
Yeah.
And sure as shit, you'd have it where at the end of a game, all of a sudden, some guy who really shouldn't even be out there is down on the ice and he can't get up and he can't feel his leg and he's got to get helped off the ice by two other guys who aren't on your first line coming off the bench to help him so you get more rest and you get that built-in timeout. And he'd, as soon as this shit would happen, he'd bring out the freaking dryer or the board, you know? Yeah. And he'd be going at it. And so, you know, I think that's – it's funny to watch some of the caginess. And our old buddy, Jimmy Roberts, he was a beauty. He always had a couple of pennies or nickels in his pocket, okay? And he'd always wait till the end of the game or when you needed a timeout or if we were getting shellacked, even halfway through the game where he needed a little break for his guys or power play and his first unit wasn't ready. He'd wait till the refs go by and he'd throw a handful of change on the ice at the wrong end. And then as he'd line up for a face-off, the referee would be like ready to drop the puck. He'd be yelling and yelling, somebody threw change on the ice. The goddamn players are going to get hurt. The ref would have to come all the way down, and they'd have to scrape them up because they'd had a chance to like melt into the ice a little bit, and there'd be like five or six pennies out there and be trying to scrape them up, built-in timeout again. Yeah. So these guys, it's crazy, maniacal geniuses.
For sure. Again, for Blues fans out there, they're living and dying here. They're trying to decide. There's a what do you say to the fans because they're out there that say making the playoffs is a waste of time. I wish we were losing these games. Have better draft position.
That's stupid.
What's your thought? I just heard yours.
Well, you see, I not only from a Blues fan, and I know they're frustrated, and I get all that stuff, and you can think that mentality, but. If the Blues want to keep going forward, it helps ownership to get into the playoffs. And that's where I look at it. The ownership's been good to these guys. And so you want to make the playoffs every year because it gets you to the point where you're making money so you can go run the salary cap limit. These guys aren't going to sit there and keep running the salary cap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You hit a wall at some point financially, depending on your ownership group.
And you don't know what a damn draft pick. These draft picks, and we're living with it right now. We got five of them coming. Who are you telling me? I'll guarantee you right now, all five ain't going to be the big wigs up here. It ain't going to happen.
He's right, and that's what I always say, the dangerous word, potential, right? So the Rasmus Dahlin kid, who everybody's saying it's his sweepstakes this year, he's a hell of a player, and I think he will be, but unless you're going to be dead last in the league or second last where you really increase your chances, like the Blues aren't that bad.
No.
as far as statistically. I mean, they're right on the verge of making the playoffs, so imagine that. Now, you'd really have to tank to try and increase your odds.
What's it like a draft pick going, whatever, to get a bit? How are they going to pay all these guys? They already got five of them coming. Where, you know, you can't have them all. It just doesn't work that way.
I just think it's absurd. I mean, I think if you're Arizona or whoever else is a bottom dweller out there, I think that maybe you don't.
Vancouver.
You know, you're
like back in the day when the Edmonton Oilers were built. And so you got the Gretzky's, the Andersons, the Messiers, and all that crew. There was no they stuck together. There was no issue of players running away and getting bigger salary till after they accomplished what they accomplished. They were able to keep that team
together. Rules were set that way, though, too, Kimby.
Correct.
You had to be 30 years old before you were unrestricted.
So it could play that way. Now it's different, though. That's where I was going. But you were able to run it. Like the Islanders, they could stay together and go on a dynasty run. The Oilers, dynasty run, you know.
And there was some, I guess, devotion to the team.
For sure.
To where even if you became unrestricted, if you had a good team and you're in a good environment and you liked what was going on, you'd stay. Yeah. You know, the hometown discount was a real thing. Mm-hmm. I know I watched it in Detroit for years because how many of those guys could have went off and signed big deals? Yet guess what? They didn't.
They wanted the cup.
They wanted to win.
And that's why.
And they wanted to play for Mike Ilitch because he was an unbelievable owner.
But they wanted the cup, and you see it in any sport going on. Watch the New England Patriots. They get every dog in town.
Say it again.
Because they want to
say
win
it again.
I don't like them. The Dallas Cowboys. Anyway, but
you heard it, folks. He said, watch the New England Patriots.
But that's what they do. They get all these guys that want to win a thing. Not all of them, but there's big they add players during the season, and I'm going, what's going on here now?
But next man up mentality. Yeah. And it's, you know, look at it. I don't agree with everything that goes on in New England, okay? I became a fan a long time ago when Drew Bledsoe was there because he was a big hockey fan, and he used to come to games and yada yada. That one year they won the Super Bowl, I was in Boston and we were a part of a bunch of shit. So that's how I became a Patriots guy. Mm-hmm. And then when the Rams were not good or disappeared, like there's really nobody else to cheer for. Yeah. So just so anybody thinks, oh, he's just jumping on the bandwagon. No, actually, I was on the bandwagon before they ever won even their first Super Bowl. So, but what they do is they create that environment. And Belichick has always been about the Patriot way, right? And so Randy Moss, all these guys that went there that may have had troubled pass or couldn't win the big games or this or that and the other, they go to New England. Why? Because they want to win.
Yeah, but you could ask anyone, Rivers, and you'd answer the same query. I'd answer this question. But a lot of guys, they said, what would the one thing, I wish I would have won the Stanley Cup. It wasn't, I wish I would have got the $5 million. No, I wish I would have won the Stanley Cup.
When you leave the game, you want to have that cup or that championship. Whatever it is, you can have 10 scoring titles and it's fantastic, but you don't get to wear a scoring title ring around.
Like Jeremy Roenick, like I talk about. JR was one of the, you know, he should go into the Hall of Fame. I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I can't freaking believe he's not there.
Yeah, I do.
And Keith Tkachuk, to me, it's absurd.
So, but he and Tkachuk's in the same ballpark. They'll sit there, and I'll guarantee you, they'll say, "I never won a Stanley Cup."
I know, fuck, you look at these guys, and they gave their heart and soul.
No, that's not why. I'm just saying, though.
No, I know, but I'm just sitting here thinking about it. Every time somebody brings up the damn Hall of Fame, those two players to me stick out like sore thumbs. Yeah. You're letting Eric Lindros in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He never won a goddamn cup.
Nope.
And look at the damn points and penalty minutes that Roenick and freaking Tkachuk put up.
For sure.
So, I don't know.
It's embarrassing.
Well, we'd have a whole show on that shit.
Yep.
I was going to say, you guys probably have some strong
opinions. My good friend, Mike, a guy I play with, Cam, who I respect dearly, same situation.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame. His numbers don't match up.
No.
I know he was injured and all this stuff, but never won a cup either.
Years, JR and them. Yeah, he never won a cup either.
Not as a player. He won it as a manager in Boston, but yeah.
Getting back to the thought of the Blues making the playoffs, playoffs. So, I'll start with you on this one, Kimby. So, we've seen it in the league numerous times, right? Like these teams, they, especially in this situation, a lot of times these eight seeds, quote unquote eight seeds, they're not bad hockey teams, right? I mean, there's a ton of points. And the big thing is, and this is going to be the situation with whoever's the eight seed, you're going to have to play really well these last 10 games, right?
Yep.
We see it a lot where this team that plays really well and gets on a streak and gets in the playoffs, I mean, they're a tough nut that first round. Sure. We see that happen all the time. I know that you have said numerous times that Jake Allen has proven he can steal a series.
Yep.
It obviously would have a lot to do with it, but can this Blues team play well enough? I guess they would have to play well enough in these 10 games to go into the postseason on a hot streak. Do they play well enough to match up against the number one seed, which right now would be Nashville?
Well, they have a good series with Nashville. You know, my thing with Nashville is, and I've said it from the get-go, Nashville plays a type of hockey that I don't think the Blues can handle. And that's just me saying that. Going off of what you just said, though, you know, a team that makes it the Blues are playing every game right now as a playoff game. Every game's a playoff game. They have to win them. So their mentality is going into the game, we have to do whatever the hell we can to win this hockey game. So they're in playoff mode hockey right now. So you watched as in the past years, and I'll use the L.A. Kings for an example, when they traded for the one Sutter that I don't like. Not traded for him, but got him as a coach. He come in and got a team that was a talented hockey team. And he come in, and they got hot at the bat, and they were just a bottom feeder team going in there. But they had the makeup to go on a run, and that's what they did. I don't see the Blues. If the Blues are going to play Nashville, it's going to be hard on them. But they still entertain. They still can give Nashville a run for their money if they make that spot. If Jake gets hot, you could still give him a run.
Yeah, you know, I think that when you talk about the L.A. Kings, that was a bit of a different dynamic to me. Everybody wants to bring up the LA Kings all the time. Well, they just barely made it in. Well, they had some injuries that led up to a bit of a lull before the playoffs started. And then they got all the guys back. Mm-hmm. And they were talented. And your guy, who you don't like, mm-hmm. unfortunately, he's that guy that had his foot on the back of their neck. Mm-hmm. And he pushed them. Drew Doughty will talk about it. Pushed harder than he ever could have imagined being pushed in his life by Sutter. And you watch those guys play, they finished every goddamn hit. They blocked every shot. They were in the way. They played big. They played heavy. They played hard. Yep. And they wore down the more finesse teams.
And they had a good goalie.
And they, oh my God, he was unbelievable. Yeah. Gumby there in the nets there. He could make any save possible. So, you know, do the Blues have the same makeup as the LA Kings that year? No. I don't think anybody does because I don't even know if anybody's ever done that before, mm-hmm. you know, as the eighth place team coming in at that point. So, to me, you know, the Blues are in a bit of a different situation. Nashville's a hell of a team. Winnipeg's a hell of a team. This is going to be it's an uphill battle. I think right now at this point, you want to fight as hard as you have to. And we got to remember that, too. They're going to have to fight as hard as possible just to get into the playoffs.
That's what I was telling Krum.
Right? So
every game's a playoff game right now.
Yeah. So now, once you get in the playoffs, do you have the energy left? Do you have that fight left in you, or have you used it all up? So it's a tough call. I mean, at this point, I think they got to be focused on just getting in the playoffs. I think we can't get ahead of ourselves. And once we get in, anything is possible.
Anything's possible.
You guys touched barely on it, but I know Blues fans are wondering, you know, they saw 91 leave or not return to the ice against the Rangers, sat in the press box in Chicago. For what we know, all we have is a video of him taking what appears to be not a big elbow, but an odd elbow to the jaw, which hit him obviously oddly. And you could see him on the bench kind of grabbing it I don't know. I mean, is this?
I don't know. You know, I'm not going to comment on it too much because I don't know the severity of the injury. Does he have a concussion? I don't know. Do you have a broken jaw? Well, I haven't seen it wired shut yet, so I don't know. You know, to me, it was a very innocent play, innocent looking. I don't know. I've been punched in the face and elbowed, and pucks hit me in the face, and I don't know. Like I said, I can't comment because I don't really know.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Okay. You?
Must be a big limb, though. I'll tell you that much.
I think Putin, with the election was going on, maybe he had to vote. Maybe he had to get his vote in, so he couldn't play.
Oh, my God. Oh, we go.
He's trying to turn everything political these days. What's
now,
going on with this guy?
Are the Blues doing the reverse thing? The U.S. is going to infiltrate the Russian vote now? Is that how it works?
That's how it's going. he's our man.
Oh, shit. Kimby has dropped two political things on our show. And that's the number one thing
Twitter.
I won't talk about
we
on
got,
our show. Hey, goddamn politics and then seconds religion.
I will say that the one guy had a great tweet back at him after his Trump thing. Did you see that? The guy said, yeah, but then he'd put up a wall and none of the Canadian guys could come in here and play hockey.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Now, I saw the hit. Like after they showed it, And again, I'm like you. I mean, let's face it. You guys obviously played rough and tumble. There's no doubt that you look at it and you go, hmm. But I will say this. That lumps in with a thousand other things I've seen where I'm like, man, that doesn't look like anything. And I guess unless you're there, I mean,
that's why I don't really want to comment on it, because what if he, you know, what if he can't see straight, or, you know,
what if he was already a little groggy and
it's tough to say. And what if what if it was something else that happened where he got hit or fell and his head got a little bit jarred, and then that one there put him over the edge. I'm watching hits that happen. Like, you had Jacob Trouba in Winnipeg step up and hit Jamie Benn. Now, he took the worst of it, but he doesn't even have head contact. It's shoulder on shoulder, then he drops and he's knocked out. He's Bambi over Weeble Wobble over the bench. And I'm like, I rewound the hit like six, seven times. I'm like, it doesn't even hit his head. He doesn't even bang his head on the ice. And it's just, like, so you just never know, I guess.
Well, they say it. I mean, again, I'm no doctor, didn't stay at a Holiday Inn, but it's sometimes it's the whip, too. And again, he did take.
Oh, yeah. You want to get into that? Oh, yeah. Because every time, I'm not being a dick, I swear to God, every time now the doctors, they figured out that anytime you have any kind of physical contact, the brain gets jarred just a little bit inside there, and that can cause small concussions the whole time. And they're talking, one guy was talking about how every hockey player probably has some small minor concussion six, seven times a game because of the way the brain gets jarred. Because it's not supposed to get jarred like that, right? Like, you work at the bank, you don't walk around and run into walls and jar your head off the wall. So
I will say, though, after getting to know you, I believe it.
Trust me. I look back now and I look at the stats of, like, just even hits given. Never mind hits taken. I'm like, holy shit, I'm in a whole heap of trouble coming up here. And let alone Kimby. And shit, think of all the fights. And I know people don't necessarily get concussions from fights, but either way, you're getting your brain jarred a little bit.
Yeah. This is going to be an interesting question for you guys. I don't even know how in-depth you'll want to go into it, but I guarantee our fans would be curious.
Kimby does not want to talk about wearing a dress on Sundays, okay? we already went political. We're not bringing this shit up.
Would you guys say that you probably played games with concussions? Would you even discuss it?
Not that I can remember. Is that the wrong answer? You know what? I know I did.
I did too.
I know I did. I mean, there were games where there was a stretch where, and I was, you know, married at the time and my wife and all this stuff. And
That's how you were trying to get out of it, were you? No,
I don't remember marrying you. Damn it. No, I'm just kidding. But I remember, you know, we played this one game. We're playing against Philly, and I was with the Islanders, and we're playing against the Legion of Doom, right? And I've been running around pretty healthy throughout the game, trying to be a little bit of a dick. And then Lindros kind of hit me from behind.
Oh, imagine that.
And jarred my head off the glass, and I didn't go down. I didn't, you know, but I went to the bench, and that's the last thing I remember. And then I kind of figured out, like, the only thing I remember of that is I can still to this day remember I'm sitting in my living room in New York, I'm asking my wife, how'd we get home? And she's like, you drove, you asshole. I'm like, oh, my God. And then it got worse because we played the next day back to back. And then after that game, I couldn't remember what city I was in. I couldn't remember if I had to go.
And you played in that game?
Oh, yeah, I played. And it was like, and that's just one time. I could go on about three or four. I'm sure Kimby here may have a story.
I got one of them. And then I was just in a hockey fight and I was my second year, I think, and I'd fought Dave Brown, and I'd beat him the first fight. In the second fight, I got hit pretty good.
Same game. Fought him twice in the same game.
Yeah, and I get
hit. I miss those days.
Who the hell fights Dave Brown twice in a game?
This guy.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
And I get the second time. I don't go down. I get hit pretty good, but threw me for a loop, and I was sitting on the bench, and I would have went one more time because we were sort of – he gets a little bit better on me in the second, so we're going to go a third, but I just couldn't. I didn't have my marbles. I was getting smelling salt in the dressing room, and I said, geez, I don't feel right. So I had to tell Bergeron, who was coaching at the time, I said, I can't go out there right now. I'm not on top of my game here. So
yeah, and that brings up a memory for me. Is I didn't fight Dave Brown twice in a game. Trust me. I'd run over with my truck, but I wouldn't fight him. Now, but he talks about the smelling salt, and I remember this from a different time, and I'm not going to bring up the team or all that shit anymore, but I got the smelling salts, and then I couldn't keep my shit straight, so I asked a trainer for Flexol. No shit. And so I put Flexol just on the rim of my nose. So every time I'd breathe in, it'd friggin' like jar me. And so I played the rest of the game with Flexol in my goddamn nostrils to keep me from friggin' going loopy. So I guess the answer to your question originally is yes, we both have done that.
Jiminy Christmas. Well, fans, you know, Darren last year had an exchange with a fan of the show, and Darren was defending fighting in the NHL and this and that. And the fan was very gracious to you and was like, look, I don't want it because I want guys like you to live a long life. And it is interesting how
Are we going to go percentages here now?
No. Because
fighting has very little to do with concussions.
No. I was talking about in general. Just knowing more about concussions and them being a part of the game. Again, I'm going back to this thing with Tarasenko because, like you guys said, I see this thing and I don't see much there, but I think, man, when it comes to the head and all that kind of stuff, it's really hard to judge.
You know when what, you got though, a guy who's not used to being hit in the head either, right? Like, I don't mean like fighting. I mean, just in general, the physical contact. Like, you get a guy, I don't want to say because I speak out of turn here and doctors will probably light me up. But I
won't be the first time.
I think that you can kind of condition yourself a little bit, right? Like, if your brain is used to some impact, I think it makes a difference. I'm pulling out of my ass here right now. Okay, but I think it makes a difference rather than just every so often getting jarred.
See, when you're going to the concussions, though, and I'll even get out of hockey, I'll even go to boxing. These guys get hit all the time. But if you get hit the right way, your jaw's open a certain way, or that's why I usually wear a mouth guard because it's supposed to help prevent stuff. But even if with a mouth guard in, your mouth's out, and you get hit in the jaw somewhere, these guys that take punches, like tough sons of bitches every day, they go down. And if you get hit in the right spot, you go down. And that could cause – it's just a trigger point, I think. And, you know, if doctors want to get into that part, they can find trigger points. And you know that, you know, you can listen
well,
to
them. Well, you ask any doctor. Anytime you're in a collision on the ice, if a doctor – it's just like lawyers, right? You can have a lawyer that when he speaks in court, my God, that guy's guilty. Then the defense attorney comes in, you're like, oh, he's innocent because they do their job so good. So a doctor can find any reason say, look, hey, you're concussed.
And this is a little – it makes sense if you listen to it closely, but touch a point with some people. But if you look at a person gets in a car accident, a drunk guy gets in a car accident with somebody, the drunk guy, because he's he's always relaxed and that, and you know, when you get tensed up, and that's the person that usually gets hurt. You know, you'll see it a million times. But the guy that's been out shit faced, he just doesn't know what's going on, and he's relaxed, and boom, he goes with it.
And I think that's the thing that pisses people off the most. If we're gonna veer off the tracks a little bit here and talk about that. That pisses me off the most is the son of a bitch who makes a dumbass decision ends up walking away from the burning vehicle and you know he doesn't suffer.
But that's what. But so you look at a concussion goes in. You can go everywhere this, and you got doctors that are going to fight it, and you got doctors that are going to agree, and you're just in the shit still.
Unfortunately, there's valid points on both sides.
Yeah.
Well, you know this kind of leads us into our innovativecompanies.com construction segment. You know, we talk about the construction team over at Innovative Companies. Let's talk about the construction of the roster. Do they have enough without him to make this run for 10 games if he has to sit?
I don't think so. I don't think so because, you know, you can trap lightning in a bottle and you can pull these games out. And let's just be honest. You got a game where Sabocha and Berglund scored in the same game. Mm-hmm. How often has that happened this hockey season? I'd be willing to say that maybe never has it happened, right? So you're taking – well, how many goals does Vladdy have this year? 30? 31?
He's all right at it, yeah.
Somewhere right there. So you're taking 30 goals out of your lineup and you're taking a guy who has – the other night, 6-7 shots on net, 12 attempts to score. That's a lot.
You know, the only way that I see they get there without him, is obviously the goaltender. The defense is going to have to play. They're going to have to come back and they're going to have to commit fully to their defensive zone and try to win games 2-1, 1-0 type of deal. And hopefully the power play got a little life last night. I know it's been dismal all year long, but they've been fighting it. But got a little life last night. So if you get the odd goal on the power play, you could maybe get there. But, God, I think they got a hill to climb here. I do.
Yeah, overall, as much as like we said earlier, it's nice that they responded and they pulled it together for a game. That's quite a lot to ask of a team to take one of your top offensive guys out of the lineup for 10 games. That's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Well, your innovative electric player this week, no doubt you mentioned him already. You know, just like our innovative electric team at innovativecompanies.com has got to be Petro. Mm-hmm. can they continue? I mean, we saw the Blues have a lot of success earlier in the year when the D was heavily activated, and they seem to have been able to get that going again. Can you see that? I mean, is that the style of play that can continue through this 10-game stretch? Is that sustainable?
Has to be. I don't know whether it's sustainable or not, but you have to.
He needs help.
Yeah, you can't sit on your heels. You sit on your heels, like, it just doesn't work anymore in the NHL. You don't have the New Jersey Devils of the mid-90s anymore. You can't do that. You have to play on your toes, moving forward. And that's, you know, the best defense is offense in the new NHL. And if you can't push ahead and forge ahead and do that stuff, you're screwed.
But he needs help big time from his D-man. And Dunn stood up yesterday.
Great. I thought Eddie's playing pretty good.
But I'm just saying he's going to need it, though, because if you're playing 30-some minutes a game and you're going to go down this stretch, you're going
to
need help.
But the Blues coaches have to try and manage his minutes a little bit here, because if they want that offense from him, they're going to have to, and like you said, the rest of his decor are going to have to step up here to relieve some of the other ice time from him.
Well, it's funny you guys say that, because it's time now to go on the bench with butter. Okay, TommyBrown-EA.com, Tommy Brown Tax Planning and Resolutions. It's that time of year, folks. Make sure you check out TommyBrown-EA.com, Tax Planning Specialist. Let your money work for you instead of giving it away. The guy I'm going to bring up doesn't get mentioned a whole lot on here. I think a lot of people, he looks the part. He at times is, you think, oh, man. But I'm going to tell you, the guy lately that I don't think is playing real well, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on it. Maybe there's a reason why. Maybe it's just growing pains, whatever. I'm watching my man Parayko get caught watching the play a lot lately. Am I wrong?
Well, here's the thing. You still have a young defenseman, okay? Young between the ears and physically, but young between the ears is the biggest thing. And so for me, he's still developing, and he's carrying a ton of ice time. I mean, he is the third highest minutes on the team, maybe second to Petro. There's going to be mistakes, and he's getting matchups now that maybe he didn't get before. When we talk about relief for Petro, that those minutes have to go somewhere, and right now Parayko's the guy that's picking up those minutes on the right side. It's a lot to ask. It just is, because you're playing every night against the other team's first or second line, no matter what, and you're trying to defend. So, yeah, percentages tell me the more you're on the ice, the harder it is. Percentages tell me the more you're on the ice against the other team's best lines, the harder it's going to be. So I think he's fine. I mean, he's still, to me, it's unbelievable how well he skates.
He skates great.
He's the fastest player on the Blues, for sure. And I know, you put him in a race from end to end with anybody on that team, he wins that race. I've never seen a big man skate like that. So for me, that's going to get him out of a lot of trouble. When there's breakdowns, or when there's giveaways, or when there's whatever, his ability to skate is going to get him out of trouble. And that's the biggest thing.
Well, and again, you know, I'm just a fan that knows enough to be dangerous. I mean, these guys are watching video after video. I mean, they have to be seeing some of the same thing. I mean, it's just odd things. I mean, there's been a few goals lately where, you know, he turns around and here's a guy wide open and he's just standing there watching the play. And it's been more than one. So that's my point, is I don't know how. And again, I talked about watching that show on HBO. It's amazing how they sit down with each independent player and say, hey, you know, what's going on? You know, somebody's had to have said, hey, you're getting caught watching the play a little bit.
Of course they do. They break down everything. He has access to whatever he wants. And quite honestly, the Sean Farrell video coach probably has a file. I know he does. That he, you know, these guys can all access through the internet. Probably sends them his clips every night if he wants. By the time he gets out of the rink, they're on his iPad or on his phone. He can watch his own stuff at home and then come back to the rink and go over it with the coaches. And the game today is broken down to every second.
Yeah.
And so I still think he's occupying a huge role. He plays big minutes. He plays against the other team's best players night in and night out. He's still a young guy, still learning. I think these are all just things that contribute to having these situations. And other teams, guess what? They're pressing too. A lot of these teams are in a do-or-die situation playoff-wise. So they're putting their best foot forward. So all these things combined, I think, create the situation where, oh, well, there was a bad play. Well, yeah, but if we wanted to sit back, and do check marks about good plays versus bad plays throughout the game, I still think we're ahead of the game with Colton Parayko.
That's good to hear. And like I said, it's just, again, as a Blues fan, you're at that point now where you're, I mean, you're watching every positive and negative thing in your analysis. And again, it's just something that, you know, Coach Henson and I, you know that we back and forth the whole games and we rewind stuff and watch it. And we don't talk a lot about Parayko.
Boy, would I like to see those conversations.
You don't want to see last. Oh, my God. You don't want to see yesterday's from
good
Coach.
Lord.
I'll let you and Coach Henson go back and forth on that one. But, hey, I want to move now to, because I'm going to put you on the spot. You were talking about something that you wouldn't bring up on your own, but I want to get your thoughts on it. It's time now to turn to our amateur segment, which is brought to you by, of course, the wonderful Nelson family. NelsonLandServices.com, tremendous people. You know, it's funny, I was listening to Darren. He sounds sad that his run, you know, running with these people in amateur hockey might be coming to a close, because they're tremendous people. You know, they've been on the same team and they hang out a lot, and you know, you meet good people, hopefully, through things, and they are. They're tremendous. They're a 5-star locally rated landscaping company. Again, they're humongous down in the Ozarks with all those beautiful homes, and the things that they do are massive and beautiful. But they can help you with anything you need. Make sure you check them out at NelsonLandServices.com. Again, just tremendous work, great people, and they're just really asking us to ask you to at least check them out at NelsonLandServices.com. And, of course, your wonderful company, SynergyHockeySkills.com. Everything you've done for the amateur hockey community here is well documented, and we're talking all the way to the top, down to the littlest, youngest guy that just wants to be a better hockey player. I got to ask you, I heard you and Kimby talking before the show. You had some big games going on this weekend, a lot of junior teams in, and you know, you played in the league. You had a great career. You've done a lot of fun things. Your stories could go on for days. And now you're starting to hear junior teams come in and talk to you about your son. Has that hit you yet, that your son may go live the life that you did? And do you want that for him, I guess?
Wow. Tough question.
Yeah, because I heard something from you that really surprised me, and I'll just say it. You really want him to go to college. You really want him to go to college. Even though that may not have been your path, it's a path you want for him. And I guess ultimately, probably like yourself, he's going to have to make a decision and make his own way. But obviously parental influence. But you know probably more now and are more involved in the process than maybe your parents were. I mean, let's face it. It's just times are different. Yeah. Plus, look who you are and what you do. You're probably going to come from a more educated place of saying, look, But ultimately, at the end of the day, if it's his dream.
Yeah, but here's the difference, okay? Oh,
You weren't expecting this one, were you?
No, not really. If we're going to rewind it, and I know we're getting to the end of the show, but I will take the time necessary to explain this.
Well, because I'm sure a lot of parents are curious.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parents out there. Let's just say this. I see a lot of junior talk. So I guarantee there's a lot of people that would love to know your thoughts.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that we need to differentiate a little bit here, because there's a ton of junior leagues in the USA and a ton of junior leagues in Canada, and not all of them are the best choices. And I'm sure they all have an argument that they're positive in some way. However, I can tell you from experience that if you're going to play junior hockey in the United States, really, it has to be the NAHL or the USHL. In Canada, for me, it's Major Junior. In the OHL, WHL, or QMJHL, the Quebec League. So where it gets difficult is my brother went to college. I played 2 years. He had a scholarship. Went to play college hockey, Division I, St. Lawrence University. And they were quite a powerhouse back at that time, end of the 80s. And that was going to be my path to college. However, things happened a different way, and then before I knew it, I was rated to go in the first round of the OHL draft, and at that point, you got to make a decision, and I was only a freshman in high school. Do I want to spend 3 more years waiting before I elevate my game, or do I go right now at 15, 16 at the time? Do I do that? And so
it's amazing the decisions you make at such a young age.
It was hard. I mean, I'm moving 7 hours away from home. Then I'll be living on my own. It's a big step. And so, but I knew that if I wanted to get to the NHL at 18 or 19, which to me sounds ludicrous now because of where my kids are and how old they are, and I watch, all this stuff, but I had to do it. I couldn't wait 3 more years and then go to college. It just would have been counterproductive. Now, fast forward to, and I'll only speak of my situation because I think it's only fair that we speak of my situation. I didn't get any education, high school education. Fast forward, I left the game of hockey. What would be, I would say, a successful career. However, when I left the game of hockey, I had zero education on paper. You know, as some people say, I had a PhD in hockey. Correct. And I found a way to use that. And I will give credit here, and I know I'm branching off all over the place here, but Todd Ewan gave me advice one time when I was going through some tough times trying to figure out how I'm going to manage after hockey, what I'm going to do. And he said flat out, he's like, you have a PhD in hockey. Very few people can say that they've done as much as you have or experienced as much. Now you got to figure out a way to use it, but that's what you have. So rewind a little bit. My son right now, why would I subject him to go to play major junior to where who knows if he's going to play pro hockey? Like, what are the percentages, right? Like, one out of I don't even know how many make it to the NHL.
Sure.
It's ludicrous. So I'd have to say that if I'm betting in Vegas, and I love that line, the odds are that he's not going to play in the NHL. So the odds are he's going to need something to do in life. If he only has a high school education and he's off chasing this friggin' pipe dream and it doesn't work out, now what? Right?
Yeah.
So he has no guarantee. He has no scholarships. He has nothing because you can't do that if you go play major junior. So to me, get him college education. And he develops. A lot of these kids now, like very few, the percentages again, or even smaller of kids that play at 18 and 19 in the NHL.
No.
Even 20. 21 is like where you're like kind of your magic area. Well, he could have 3 years of college under his belt at that point.
Sure.
So now he's coming out of the game. If he's fortunate enough to I mean, we're talking fantasy world here. If he's fortunate enough to play in the NHL or the AHL where he's getting a good contract or whatever.
Sure.
He only has a year of college left.
Which is manageable.
Which is manageable.
At a mid-20s, upper-20s age.
Correct. If sugar turns to shit, he has one, he has one year left of college. Now, if he stays for 4 years and then goes to play pro hockey, guess what? If it doesn't work out, he has a degree.
Yeah.
And now he has, you know, the opportunity to go on to other things. So, to me, it's very difficult. Looking back at me, I think I had to do it. Knowing what I know now, I think the best path for kids is to follow the college route.
Yeah.
And not Canadian college. Nothing wrong with it. A great education system. But the U.S. college way is, to me, the best way to get your kid education, have them develop, have them mature physically and mentally, and then when sugar turns to shit, they have a degree.
Yeah, I think for the fan that's never going to experience it, I guess sometimes, especially a guy like you who's been there, I think, and again, I'm just guessing, I think the hardest part of the conversation of you will be if it's his dream. I mean, how do you squash the dream with reality?
Well, you're not, though, really. What you're doing is you're just giving him a better road.
Sure.
Right? So I'm not telling him he can't travel the road.
Right.
Instead of the dirt road, though.
This road.
Instead of the dirt road, I'm going to give him a highway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the way you have to look at it. So sure. For me, that's the way it has to be approached. For me, there is no other discussion at this point. Now, it gets hard because Major Junior is making some steps now to where they're offering, they call them schoolboy packages, to where they'll pay for Canadian university, 4 years of Canadian university following their junior career. Now, they're offering it if you don't sign a pro contract.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are terminated as soon as you sign a pro contract because they're right. Like, well, you don't need the money. Well, bullshit.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Not everybody makes hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Sure, yeah.
So. Yeah, now they've made some steps to where some of the top kids are guaranteed these 4 years of college. But
right.
I guess what I'm saying is if I would travel that route with him, I would absolutely, no doubt in my mind, mandate 4 years of college.
Yeah.
And that's it. And well, that way there, if everything goes wrong for him, he's got 4 years of Canadian university, and some of those colleges are ranked really high in the education world. So I'd sleep better at night at that point.
Yeah, I was just curious. I heard you, you know, talking about it, and I know it's probably not something you would want to bring up, like you're being boastful. So I know it's a topic. I see it all the time, and I know our fans find some of these things interesting.
I've just seen thousands and thousands of players leave major junior hockey with nothing, and they're going in, and no disrespect here, but they're going then and like going to work at Home Depot, dragging lumber around or doing something. And it's not that those are bad jobs.
I understand what you're saying.
But they've given their whole lives from 4, 5, 6 years old to go through everything, and that's where it is.
So they could have used hockey instead of letting hockey use them.
And that's the main thing I tell kids. Yeah. I'm like, find a way for you to use hockey in your life. Not everybody plays in the NHL. We just went through that. The brass ring has to be your education, connections.
Right.
That's what you do. You're using hockey ultimately to get those things.
Yeah.
And that's my stance on it. I'm sure there's a counter argument from somebody somewhere, but pertaining to my situation and with my kids and all this stuff, that's the route I believe is the best.
Well, because what do we see as fans? What do we see? We see the guys that played and they've got these kids and then they get drafted and we see them in the league and we think that just happens for everybody. You know what I mean?
It's nobody sees is the everybody only sees the success stories.
The Kachuk,
which is a fraction of the amount of players. Like, you got to think, how many kids do you think are playing junior hockey in the U.S.? I mean, hundreds, maybe thousands. In Canada, same thing. And then you go to college, university, club hockey, all these things, whatever you're doing, and then you leave the game and what? You don't hear about those guys. You hear about Connor McDavid, but you don't hear about the guy who's drafted in the 9th round that year or who is never drafted. You just don't hear about those guys. So that's my concern.
Well, that's good stuff. Like I said, I was curious. I knew you wouldn't bring it up, but I also knew it'd be a great discussion because I know our fans are listening. So, well, hey, we want to thank you guys for joining us on this Monday edition of Blues NHL Podcast. We want to remind you to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Multiple things you can do there. You may be listening to the shows through the website. You can subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free. You'll get a notification on your mobile device whenever the show's been released so that you can listen to it at your leisure. One of the things we would ask is if you're on your computer, to the right, you'll see the Amazon banner. If you're on your mobile device, you can scroll down. If you guys would do your shopping through Amazon that way by just clicking those banners, we get a very small referral, helps us with our production costs here. You know, we got to pay the big guy big dollars there to run this show, Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen, our producers here at lineupmedia.fm. But we'd appreciate it if you do that. Once you click the banner, you're done with us. Doesn't cost you anything extra. Like I said, we get a very small referral. Social media is such a big part of what we do. We enjoy it. We're having a lot of fun with our buddy Kimby, as he loves to get people going on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter. We are at STL Blues Podcast. We are also at NHL Show. We'd ask you to like both the pages. At STL Blues Podcast, if you're a Blues fan, we're going to follow you back because we're curious what you have to say there. You can find us on Facebook as well. That's our big ask. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast. Please like the Facebook page. Click invite your friends. Invite all your Blues friends to like the page and get involved in the conversation as well. Find us on Instagram at Blues NHL Podcast. And, of course, we're happy to be a part of lineupmedia.fm, home to the newest internet radio sensation, Yo Radio. You can look for that now. And again, as they're making the improvements there, I think you guys are going to enjoy that newest internet radio station. Again, thanks to Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen for all they do for us. I want to thank our partners, of course, InnovativeCompanies.com, as we've mentioned them throughout the show. They've never made it easier now for you to use all three of the arms underneath that big umbrella: Innovative Heating and Cooling, Innovative Electric, and, of course, the Innovative Construction Team. Whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial, our man, Randy Green, he is your guy, and Stephanie, his wonderful daughter, they run a tremendous company. 35 years experience. Randy's a second-generation craftsman, and he's a man of his word. Get them involved early in the process. They'll save you money, time, energy, and effort. They are your people when it comes to construction, heating and cooling, and electric. Again, that's InnovativeCompanies.com. We want to thank our friend and coach from McKendree, Tommy Brown. Don't forget TommyBrown-EA.com. It's his time of year, folks. He's busy. Tommy Brown Tax Planning and Resolutions. While he can help you with your taxes, of course, he can assist you if you're having issues with your taxes. His main focus right now is tax planning. Let your money work for you. Give him an opportunity. I'm telling you, you'll enjoy it for sure. SynergyHockeySkills.com, NelsonLandServices.com. They promote the amateur segment here. We appreciate everything they do. Of course, our social media partners, we couldn't do the show without them. Jamie's good friend, Mick Light. I know he was at the rinks this weekend doing everything he does for local hockey, whether it be amateur or pro. So make sure you check out Art City Sports, the wonderful Facebook page. It's taking us to new heights. Thank you so much for everything you do for the show. St. Louis Blues Hockey Memes, of course, does a great job. St. Louis Blues Fans Unite, and of course, everything STL Sports. We appreciate you guys and all your support of St. Louis Blues Blues NHL podcast, that is. Again, for my co-host Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball, I want to thank you guys for joining us. I leave you with a Let's Go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.